This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Once again, I'm greeting you and trusting that the program will be a blessing to you. We're glad you've tuned in to our lesson today. Now, if you'd like to contact me, as per usual, you can go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and you can use the email address or the postal address that's given there. This program can be re-listened to there. You can also reach me the old-fashioned way at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. That is, you can do that if your mailman is delivering to you. Ours, we find out, for some things, we have to go downtown to get our mail, so it might be easier to go through the email addresses that I've given to you in this climate that we're living in now. But anyway, we've been looking at the Lord and some of his titles. We've noted that we have a lot of prominent people in the Bible that tell the story of the Jews and that bring us up to date with regard to the story of the Lord himself. We know that the real theme of our Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the first chapter of Genesis, there's a plural used with regard to creation, which gives us the impression that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all involved in creation. And we read, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And so who would the us be unless we had a Father and a Son at least? And the Holy Spirit has been active in those passages. So again, we see the Father being the one who, generally speaking, is in charge of everything, and he's delegated most of the responsibilities to the Son, who is the servant, and we haven't looked at the Lord as the servant yet, and the Holy Spirit has been active in providing the needed help for all that the Lord does as Jehovah and all that God does as Father. So we always have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together, but the theme of our Bible has to do with the Lord because he's the one who had the responsibility delegated to him to become the Lamb of God. And that's what I want to deal with today, the importance of the Lord as the Lamb of God. Now we know that when we study our Bible, we like to study it literally. That is, we like to know exactly what the sense of the passage is. But when we say we study it literally, we have to understand that a literal interpretation of the Bible requires us to determine what is poetic, what is symbolic, what is metaphorical, and what is, as we would say, literal. So we look at many pictures in the Bible of different things that speak to us. For example, the Lord is the bread of life. The Lord is the living water. The Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. Those are ways of describing him so that we can grasp a little something of his nature and his purpose. And so one of the main features of the Bible is to see the Lord as the Lamb of God. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 1 and verse 36, we find that John the Baptist saw the Lord as he walked, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And so when we look at the Gospel of John, it's really a gospel that's written for the world at large. It's not written simply for the Jews. It's the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So it's the world that the gospel is written for. And even though the issue of the Lamb is found with regard to Jewish ritual and with regard to what it means to them, it should mean the same thing to those of us who are wanting to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is today. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, 700 years before the Lord died, we have a prophecy in Isaiah 53, and most of you are probably familiar with it, which says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth." And this is Isaiah 53, verse 7, and is describing the way the Lord was the way the Lord reacted when he was in trial before the scribes and the Pharisees and before Pilate. And even Pilate marveled that he didn't in any way try to defend himself. And so we know that people are cruel today, and they take people that they think that they can manipulate, that they can bully, and they do it. And that's exactly what the Jewish leaders, the religious Jewish leaders, did with regard to the Lord. Now, I realize they used the Romans, but it was the religious leaders that delivered the Lord to Pilate. It was the religious leaders that felt that he was taking the place that they deserved in the with regard to the honor that they had among the people. And so, even though we have to admit that the Romans did in fact scourge the Lord, they did in fact mock the Lord, yet it was the religious leaders that were willing to deliver him over to the Roman rulers who had the power to crucify. And so he was afflicted, he was oppressed, and yet he didn't defend himself, because he knew that this was the plan of God, the plan of the Father, to which he submitted and to which he was a part. It's hard to distinguish between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit when it comes to the plan of salvation, even though the Lord carried the plan out. And so he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet opening not his mouth, he is led as a lamb to the slaughter. Now, when we look at him as a lamb, and particularly as we look at that verse, we find out that that was the very passage from Isaiah, the Old Testament, that Philip used when he was preaching to the eunuch, or the official from Ethiopia, in Acts chapter 8. And you'll remember that Philip was sent out into basically a wilderness area to meet this Ethiopian eunuch. And it's always encouraged me to see how that when someone is searching for the truth, God sends them either a Bible or a preacher or a message on the radio or on TV so that they can understand the truth. I believe the Bible does mean it when it says, "Seek and ye shall find." And I believe that the Bible does want us to search for the Lord with all our hearts. And I believe that this Ethiopian eunuch was doing that. And he not only got a Bible, but he got a person to explain the Bible to him. And so he had gone to Jerusalem to worship, probably as a converted Jew. But he wasn't getting satisfied. And in Jerusalem he finds this scroll, which is the prophecy of Isaiah. And on the way home he's reading it while he's in the chariot, and the Lord sends Philip to join himself to that chariot. And then we read in verses 32 and 35 of chapter 8 of Acts, the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so opening not his mouth, in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who will declare his generation or his children? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? And then we read, Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture and preached Jesus to him. Now we have fairly good authority, I would say, that this is a good passage to explain the gospel from, because ultimately this Ethiopian eunuch says, what does hinder me from being baptized? And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he apparently baptized him, and we are wondering, at least I am wondering, and I think most people believe, that he went back to Ethiopia and preached the gospel himself and saw people saved there, and that there were churches in Ethiopia as a result of this meeting designed by the Lord so that this man would understand who the Lord Jesus really was. So he preached, he started at the same scripture and preached Jesus to him. And the point being that In the Old Testament, lambs were important. Without the shedding of blood, we read, there is no remission. And while there were a number of different types of animals slain, there could be bullocks, that is oxen, and there could be sheep, and there could be goats, and then there could be birds, and they could all be slain. Really, the primary sacrifice was the sacrifice of a lamb. And it's interesting when we look at this lamb that the Lord is, we read about that in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 16. I believe this will take place during the tribulation period and after the Lord has removed his current believers from the judgments that are going to fall on this earth for rejecting the Lord. In other words, there's going to be a rapture. And then there's going to be these judgments, and the rapture is because we've been saved, past, present, and future. All of our sins have been put away. We've been saved from any judgment that we deserve because of our sin, and that includes judgments that are going to come on this earth, as well as judgments that we should have undergone if we had died without Christ eternally. And so, when we read in Revelation chapter 6, we read about a lamb again. And again, it's metaphorical or at least poetic. They said to the mountains and the rocks, that is, people who were under the judgment of God, said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the lamb. Now, as I understand it, that's an oxymoron. Now, an oxymoron is terms that are contradictory, that are used together. Lambs are generally not angry. Now, I wouldn't want to get in the way of the male ram, particularly during breeding season, but lambs and sheep are not normally known as being anything but docile, and we see them as innocent victims. And when they are put to death, even when they're butchered, they're you don't hear the screaming in the anguish that you would hear from a pig or from a cow. And so we find here that a lamb that's normally docile is angry. And the Lord has the right to be angry because he died for our sins. And yet, because he died for our sins, there are people that are still rejecting him today. And the reason that he died for our sins the way he died for our sins is because the Jewish people rejected him. And so we have this picture of a lamb who is a substitute that satisfied God. I hope he's a substitute that satisfies you so you can say, thank God the lamb has taken my place and has died for me. Because when we look at the scriptures, we find the lamb is perhaps prominent, first of all, when Abraham was told to offer up his son. And his son said in Genesis 22, look, the fire and the lamb, but where is the lamb? And we could ask that question today, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And the answer was, God will provide himself a lamb. And on Calvary's cross, God the Father provided himself a lamb that satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God. And friend, unless you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then the punishment that you deserve for your sins will be meted out on you, rather than being meted out on the Lord in a substitutionary way. When we trust him, we are saved from the wrath of the Lamb. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who will hear it. We thank thee for thy word and for thy salvation. We thank thee for thy Son. We give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.